what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, he is a Cedar Park Water Polo Coach of the Year, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, tell everyone how to find us.
Eddie, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie, can you believe that the school year is done? Traffic is now going to be lighter. We're going to see less people on the streets. Mopac 35 is going to be great when we're driving to work or you have to drive anywhere now because there's going to be less people on the road. We're finally in summer.
I can barely believe it. It just seems like it was summer like a minute ago when I had to sit in my apartment and do nothing and just stay put the whole time.
Yeah, me too.
And now I can actually move around, but I've forgotten how to do stuff.
Well,
I think I may be too comfortable with the Netflix and the HBO Max and my couch and my recliner. And I need a little push.
Yeah, well, I would love to push you, Eddie. I would like nothing more than to push you.
But off a cliff.
But we're not together, and I won't be able to do that. It's great seeing you, even if it is over Zoom, right? Seeing your face in my computer screen. The only way I've really seen you for over a year now, Eddie. But it's okay. So how was your Memorial Day weekend, though?
Man, it was a weekend of ups and downs. I saw the Chris Rock Saw movie, Spiral.
In theaters?
That was, yes, in the theaters. Okay. So I had a little push. So that was, it was interesting. It was a Saw movie. A little disgusting, a little funny.
They can be kind of creepy.
Yeah, but Chris Rock in it. There was some funny parts too. Friday during the big storms, I got locked out of my apartment. Went to a buddy's place to watch the UT baseball game. Came back mid storm, all the lights were out. Couldn't open the garage door. Front door was dead bolted because I had gone out through the garage, so I had to go and spend the night at my buddy's house in Pflugerville. You know, all these emergency supplies that I bought after the ice storm did me no good when you can't get into the dang house.
Yeah, that makes it difficult. If you can't get to your emergency supplies, it doesn't make sense. So
yeah, they are useless. I was like, I got lights. I got everything. I'm ready.
Maybe you give your buddy a key to your house. Maybe you make an extra key and you give someone else that key, Eddie.
Well, see, I do have a friend with an extra key, but it doesn't work on the deadbolt from the outside. See, that's the thing.
That's confusing.
Gotta start unlocking the deadbolt on the way out. Yeah.
Okay, that's confusing.
Yeah. And then I've got somehow a gnat infestation. So that's lots of fun.
Gnat.
So my whole apartment smells like apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Yeah. Had a little help from a guy on Twitter. Might know him as Pest Control Danny. Gave me some ideas and some things to pick up. So if you need help, tweet at him.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday night, I went over to Stu's place to watch AEW Double or Nothing with Stu and Justin from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. And that was fun.
Yeah, how surprised were you when you saw Mark Henry walk out there?
Very surprised. Stu noticed that he had seen Mark Henry's son ringside, but he figured Mark couldn't be seen on camera because he was still under contract with WWE. And then 2 hours later, oh my God, there's Mark Henry. I guess he's not under contract anymore.
Yeah, I actually had known that he was good, that he was not under, that he was kind of looking at things, but I had no idea, right? I'm very far down the totem pole of him telling me anything, but
you're in his fantasy football league.
I am in his fantasy football league, but I didn't see that coming, and so that's exciting. Good for Mark. That's great.
But
news.
Then the biggest surprise of the night was seeing former Texas coach Charlie Strong and almost Texas coach Urban Meyer in the safeties meeting room. With Chris Jericho throwing MJF around, Charlie Strong throwing Jericho footballs to throw at MJF. Then Urban Meyer hands him a laptop, hits MJF over the head with it. Just a little comedic performance there that you did not expect.
You thought it was a good use of Jacksonville Jaguar coaches?
Yeah, I mean, what better use could you have?
Yeah.
So the only thing missing was Tim Tebow praying over somebody that had been body slammed or something.
All right, now you always take it too far, Eddie. Eddie, you were locked out of your house on Friday night.
Yes.
I couldn't be in my house all weekend. So I told you last week that we were going to sell, or moving, right? That we're selling our house. So our house hit the market on Friday. We had to be out of our house from 10 a.m. to 7 every single day over the weekend.
What do you do with two kids?
Three
kids. How many kids do you have?
Three kids. And a dog.
A dog.
And a, we got a rover. Thankfully, we got a rover to watch Covey. So we took Covey out of the equation, which was great, right? It was because it's tough going to places where you can't take a dog in with you. So we figured out the Covey situation. On Friday, bless my wife. I went to the office and I worked in the office all
day. She is an angel.
And I let her to kind of fend for herself, right?
She you went to jackass. The pool.
She went to practice. On Saturday, we had a swim meet. So I actually left the house 5:15 in the morning, went to our swim meet with the kids, and we were there till 1:30. From there, we jetted over. I was actually in Pflugerville on Saturday. We went and saw Cruella in the movie theater. So I also was
How
in
was
the movie
that?
Theater. It was good. I enjoyed it. Actually, it was funny. There were some good parts that some homage to the original cartoon. And I thought Emma Stone did fantastic. And the kids liked it. A little dark for a six-year-old, but it was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think the movies that we saw are a good indicator of the differences between us.
Yeah, there are many differences. at some point, we drove over to, I believe, gosh, I don't know if it was, what night was the bad storm? Was it Friday night?
Friday night.
So that was the night I drove from Torchy's up Anderson Mill, up a hill. That was insane. It was just crazy to think, just to see the rain coming down and everything else. I mean, that was nuts. Saturday we went to the pool. Sunday we went to church. We went to brunch, which was fantastic. And then we went over to a friend's house and stayed with him. But Eddie, I'm happy to say we're under contract.
I was going to say, the question everyone wants to know is, did you get one? And apparently that's all it takes in Austin, one weekend.
Thankfully, yeah, we had about 25 showings. We had multiple offers, which was great. And we are under contract, Eddie, so that is great news.
Did they go over?
They did. We're very blessed. We're grateful. We are very fortunate, Eddie. And we're very happy. So it's obviously we're a long way to go. It's not, you know, it's early on in the process, but we're very grateful, and we're excited for the people who are purchasing our home.
Well, just remember, my birthday's in August. Great. So it's coming up.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And,
I expect more than the ball that already is mine that I see in the background.
Yeah, right there, right over this this right shoulder of mine.
Oh, you so, jackwagon,
Eddie! I did get to go out to the lake today, though. So first off, Marlo, my wife is gone. My wife is gone from today through Saturday. She's at a girls' camp for our church. Well, she's there with a bunch of girls, and she planned this whole event, and now she's there. And so hopefully the rain, you know, stays away all week. But I had a chance to go to the lake, and I took the kids with us. I did not get sunburned, but I got dumped on with rain. The weather right now in Austin is so crazy. It goes from just raining to just the sun came out, back to raining again. It's unpredictable.
It's like Florida all of a sudden. I prefer the good old summertime drought.
Yeah, I this morning
it's gonna
I
be
was
hot and dry.
I was cold. And I was soaking wet, and I hadn't even gotten the water yet.
First world problems, huh?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Well, no, and as a reminder, as this is the official Longhorn Station, Texas sports are still ruling the spring, Jordan. We already talked last week about women's tennis winning the national championship. Well, we got another national championship this weekend with rowing, winning their first national championship. Baseball is the number two national seed. They're hosting a regional this coming up weekend. Softball just missed making it to the College World Series. And both track squads have qualified a whole bunch of guys and gals for national championships next month. So that's what's going on the horn as far as Longhorns goes.
Nice.
There's still so much happening.
Now a couple of guys that have no connection to UT, to the horn, but
Thank
a champion.
God.
Nevertheless, Floyd Mayweather. We've been waiting for this moment, Eddie. Floyd Mayweather this Sunday night.
Have we?
June 6th. Is taking on Logan Paul. Is this really for the YouTube Cruiserweight title? Is that really something?
I don't know if that's just something Wikipedia made up or not, but I'm sure there'll be some kind of cheap plastic-looking belts that they put up for it. Like Jake Paul had this Triller belt.
I mean, well, they made a money belt for Connor and Floyd as well.
Well, that was sanctioned by the WBC, though. That was an actual boxing match between two professional athletes. This is a joke. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a joke belt. I'd like to see the design, though.
Are you going
to
watch this on Saturday night, Eddie? It's on Showtime. You got Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco is in the co-main, or is on the main card. Badu Jack is in the co-main there. Is this pique your interest enough that you're going to shell out money to watch Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul?
I will not be shelling out money for this. Now, if it's on, if I go to eat dinner somewhere and it's on, I'll watch it.
It will not be.
Well, there are some places where it will be. I've already seen like things on Facebook and emails. I'm like, oh.
Eddie, you shouldn't frequent those establishments.
I shouldn't.
Not good.
I wouldn't suggest it to anyone else either. Well, that's mean to say coming out of a pandemic. People need to come out and see frequent their establishment. So go to dinner, go to a bar. If they're showing that, don't leave. Just turn your back.
Oh, wow. Hey, what I didn't know, I think, is Badu Jack, is that fight still on?
That fight, well, it's iffy. He's still trying to stay on the card as of right now, but he doesn't have an opponent because Jean Pascal, the Canadian light heavyweight champion, tested positive for 3 different banned substances this past weekend. So he is off the card. So it's no longer a light heavyweight title match. And that was the one fight that was probably going to bring in actual boxing fans. So if Badu Jack falls off the card completely, you can expect Mayweather and Paul to lose some money.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I mean, they might bring in the boxing fans, but Logan Paul over there, he's bringing in the YouTube fans and his and the millennials and the Generation Z. Is that what they are? I don't even know anymore. So he's bringing in all of his
fans. Is that your kid? Your kids are Gen Zs, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I hope he's not bringing a lot of millennials. I mean, I am a millennial. Well, you are definitely not. But I would think that most of us millennials are past Logan Paul.
You're right on the edge.
I am on the edge. I don't know if I consider myself a millennial. Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco.
You'd be much cooler in Gen X, but we don't want you.
43 years old, fighting Brian Maxwell, a 2-2 pro MMA fighter, 0-3 in bare-knuckle boxing. What do you make of this matchup?
I read part of an article where Brian Maxwell was talking about how Jorge Masvidal was instrumental in getting him this matchup. And he was just trying to figure out how his name came about and how Chad Johnson chose him. And I'm just like, well, he probably saw your record. And figured you've been knocked out in 2 of your 3 bare knuckle fights. So he might have a chance of landing a good punch. That's how he got chosen.
I think Chad Ochocinco, is he doing work for, like, is it Bleacher Report that he's doing some work for? Was he in Houston for the fight?
You know what? I think
I know he was at 261 in Jacksonville, but I don't know. I didn't ever see him on any of the media prior to UFC 262 in Houston.
I know I didn't see him in the back.
Okay.
But I'm trying to remember if the reports I saw of him were for 61 or 62.
I want to say 61. It was Masvidal talking to him. Hey, let's go back to Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul. Our friend Brian Campbell from Morning Combat, he actually went to Puerto Rico. He spoke with Logan Paul last week. I want to play this clip.
Wait, what's Logan Paul doing in Puerto Rico?
I don't know. They're both of the Paul brothers were training. So I want to play this clip, though. I think it's actually really interesting.
You say take everything away. What does that mean?
I mean, think about it. The poster says bragging rights. Floyd beats me. What bragging rights are there? You beat a YouTuber? Like, good job. I beat Floyd. His whole life means absolutely nothing. 50 wins, but you lost to a podcasting Pokemon collecting YouTuber. So, yeah, he's got a lot on the table. I'm just going in there, no given.
All right, so he talks about bragging rights, Eddie. And he's right. There's not much to gain for Floyd Mayweather. This is just bragging rights for Logan Paul only.
It's just a bag of money for Floyd Mayweather. And that's really all he cares about. And who can blame him with as much as he'll probably make off of this?
Yeah, and we talked about this last week that, you know, Floyd is saying that, hey, you know, I'm going to control this fight, and it's true, right? If it goes one round, if it goes two rounds, if it goes three rounds, I will control how far it goes. And, you know, you think back to the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, and you thought maybe Conor could land a punch, right? Maybe he's got a puncher's chance that he could finish this. Does Logan Paul even have a puncher's chance in this?
I don't know. He's only had one boxing match, and it was just against another YouTuber, and he lost. So if you lose to some British dude whose name has a bunch of letters in it.
Is it KSI?
There you go. Three letters. You can't beat that guy. You really think you're going to beat Floyd Mayweather, the greatest defensive boxer we've ever seen, or at least since Muhammad Ali? I mean, he might land a couple of punches, but Floyd's going to roll with them and do whatever he wants to do. His biggest problem will be getting inside the jab if he has one. But you know he knows how to do that.
Where there's one Paul, there's obviously another Paul, Eddie. Jake Paul, also
it's like
the
gnats in my place.
Jake Paul announced that on Twitter that he has a fight matchup that's going to be announced. The Athletic is saying that Jake Paul will face, are you ready for this? Tyron Woodley. Later this year in a boxing match, the Athletic's Mike Coppinger said that the two will do a face-off on Friday. The event's going to be on Showtime. Opening odds for the boxing match are Jake Paul minus 155 and Tyron Woodley plus 125. Tyron Woodley, former UFC welterweight champion, just four fights ago, is now the underdog in a boxing match to Jake Paul. What do you think about that?
I think that's just Vegas trying to get some action on Paul because everyone knows that he's actually finally fighting someone who can stand up. You know, he fought Nate Robinson, a basketball player with no boxing experience. He fought a crippled, retired MMA fighter with pillow hands and no stand-up. Now he's fighting someone known for his knockouts and his quick hands. That's a bad move. Vegas needs some action on Jake Paul because everyone's already betting on Woodley.
I don't know, man. I mean, Woodley is 39 years old. He's a wrestler. He is not a boxer, right? He is a wrestler. By
how much have you seen him wrestle?
In college, a lot?
No. In his last few MMA fights, how much have you seen of his offensive wrestling?
How much have you seen
when he won?
That's a great question. In his last four strikes, how many strikes has he thrown? I mean, how much?
That's because he was fighting
in actually boxing,
mostly fighting wrestlers. He was mostly fighting wrestlers.
Well, I wouldn't.
Who were able to take
that.
Him down because may have lost a step.
I wouldn't.
But
use
when he
those
won
last
the title,
four fights. Yeah.
When he won the title, how did he win? Knockout. Against Wonder Boy, it was all stand up. You think? If you can hang with Wonder Boy and not get knocked out, you think Jake Paul's going to knock him out?
I don't know. Robbie Lawler, he lost to Ben Askren, right? Tyron Woodley.
That one's still iffy.
Robbie Lawler lost to Ben Askren. Ben Askren lost to Jake Paul. MMA math says that Jake Paul is going to beat Tyron Woodley.
This isn't MMA. It's boxing.
I hate this. I hate that. I'm going to say this again. Am I going to pick Jake Paul to beat Tyron Woodley in a boxing match? Probably. And I hate myself for doing that.
Dude, if you say, I'm going to hold you to that if you stick to that, and we'll make a bet.
That's fine. But I did it on Ben Askren, too. I picked Jake Paul, and I didn't like it then either.
Well, Ben Askren was a completely different story. Halfway crippled, already retired. He had no stand-up in the game in the first place. He was a perfect matchup for Jake Paul. He was like a punching dummy. You know, it was like a heavy human heavy bag.
So Ben Askren could be a punching dummy, but Jake Paul is not. And he's handpicking opponents based on styles, based on records, based on like the name value that you can get out of them. Another former champion. His team is smart around him. I don't love the matchup.
This one's a mistake for him, though. Because he's picking someone maybe off his last couple fights, but he's not picking them off actual ability.
Sure, but his ability, he's 39 years old. Eddie, he's not young.
No, he's not young. But the power is the last thing to go. And let me tell you, I'm pretty sure Jake Paul doesn't have the hands to knock him out. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But I guarantee you, he's done a lot more work standing up. And he's tons better in the stand-up game than Jake Paul. Tyron Woodley doesn't even throw kicks.
I will take this from people. If Tyron Woodley was a good boxer, he would be a boxer, Eddie. He would go make a lot more money in boxing.
I didn't say he was a great boxer. I just said he's better than Jake Paul.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Jake Paul's not fighting great boxers. He's not picking great boxers.
I know.
He's picking names. And I think in this one, he's probably bit off more than he could chew.
Well, I hope you're right.
Because he hasn't really been hit yet.
for your sake.
What's going to happen when he finally gets hit? For my sake, I don't care.
No, I mean, I would like you to be correct. I don't love this.
But I want to see what happens when Jake Paul finally gets hit by someone who knows how to throw a punch. Because he hasn't fought anyone like that yet.
Well, no, I get that, right? I do understand that he hasn't fought someone, but I think you're kind of handpicking, right? And you're handpicking someone, and again, who, you know, gosh, Tyron Woodley, you look back to his fights. The decision.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're handpicking correctly.
Threw 34 strikes against Tyron Woodley, against Kamaru Usman. He threw 28 strikes against Gilbert Burns. 34 strikes against Colby Covington. 18 strikes against Vicente Luque. And he looked good coming out against Vicente Luque. But his confidence is shot. I don't love it. So,
well, three of those are against guys who were great wrestlers, who have a great ground games where he had to hold back a little bit. And he spent the majority of those fights on his back. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, Eddie, the good news is we don't have to dissect this today. We've got a ways to go. And we get to talk about it again. And we just probably should put a new segment, like Paul Brother Central right here on Fight Night, guys.
Going to replace the Conor McGregor hype train.
There you go.
We need some new sound.
Well, guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? Without you, yeah. Woo! Well.
And welcome back to 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. I'm Eddie, that's Jordan. You're listening to Fight Night. And Jordan, now that SNL is gone, I might need some new TV suggestions. I've just finished Invincible and Jupiter's Legacy. Have you seen those?
I have not seen those.
Pretty good. Okay. Pretty good. Yeah. Both superhero shows, so that's fun. I think there's a Ragnarok or something on Netflix. I'm about to finish Lucifer, so that's a good one. But more than anything, I probably just need to get out of the house more often.
You need to get away, Eddie. Get out the house.
I'm in a rut, man. But you know who's no longer in a rut? John Jones. He's retained the services of former Golden Boy CEO Richard Schaefer. What's up with that?
Yeah, so I don't know if he's out of the rut just yet, but we knew that John Jones had parted ways with First Round Management and the Cowboy Brothers, but he put out a statement on Twitter last week. He said, "I've retained Richard Schaefer as my advisor. Richard has been in the combat sports space for over 20 years and has put together some of the biggest pay-per-view events over that period. The likes of Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, Canelo, Bernard Hopkins, Barrera, and Marquez have headlined exciting events that Richard has promoted and produced. His knowledge and experience in the pay-per-view industry and combat sports are second to none. I'm excited to embark on this next chapter of my life or my career as I continue to cement my place in history as one of the greats with Richard as my advisor. I can't wait to give fans and the sport the fights they want to see." So it sounds like John Jones was actually the one that was negotiating his UFC fights for the last few fights that he's had. And now Schaefer's going to come in. He's going to help out with that. Schaefer was on SiriusXM's Fight Nation last week. He said that he and Dana actually do have a good relationship. He said that, you know, he's going to be meeting with Dana soon. And, you know, he's actually talking about a Mayweather-Canelo fight. And he said, look, the best deals are usually those where nobody is happy with them, but everybody can live with them. And that's really what I'm going to try to do. So he needs to make, you know, John Jones probably not going to get exactly what he wants. Dana White probably not going to get exactly what he wants. But in the end, this is a guy who has worked with some of the most stubborn people in combat sports. He understands the pay-per-view business. He's promoted some of the biggest pay-per-view fights that there have been. And Dana actually spoke with Yahoo Sports. And he said that, "I like Richard Schaefer. I respect the guy. I've known him for a long time. He's a real guy. He's a guy that gets deals done. So we'll see." But having said that, Eddie, Dana also said that the UFC is most likely going to do Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou next. And it could definitely happen in Houston, which would be awesome for us. The UFC, if they do Lewis versus Ngannou too, though, and they, you know, maybe push Jones out, I don't think that'd be the worst thing for John Jones. I don't think he's past his prime. I think he's still training. He looks great. Maybe not in the calves. He needs to work on those a little bit. But I think this is going to be a good thing for John Jones.
I agree. Number one, in getting a manager or advisor, whatever you want to call him, that Dana actually likes. Because we know a lot of what Dana does is just based on who he likes and what he likes, as opposed to actual good business. So that's a smart move, one, there. And two, not rushing in the fight. Like, I think even John Jones said, it's bad news for the rest of the heavyweight division for him to take his time. You know, rushing in there is only good for the rest of the guys and not for him. And he's right. You know, he's put on new weight, new muscle to be able to compete with the big guys and to have more time to get used to moving around with that. Maybe actually all that weight up top will make his calves grow just by carrying it around, you know? So yeah, he's right. And he's got enough money to wait. As Dana said in the 262 post-fight presser, John Jones has the money to retire if he wanted to. So he doesn't have to rush it. And I think it's smart. And also even better for us, because we can see the heavyweight title in Houston. And I'm all for that. Now, I know you're going to love this one, Jordan. The Ultimate Fighter is back this week. What's up with that? You're going to watch the whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah, so the 29th season, you know, maybe, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder, Eddie. And we actually haven't seen the Tough since 2018. It was the final season. It was called Heavy Hitters. Juan Espino won that for the heavyweights. Macy Chiasson won for the women's featherweight. Eddie, I don't know if you know this. They did a women's featherweight show, and they still don't have women's featherweights. All of those fighters are either not in the UFC, or they now are fighting at bantamweight.
Yeah, all they had were blown up bantamweights.
So,
I mean, if you're going to do that, get some actual featherweights.
All right, so let's go. The 29th season of The Ultimate Fighter premieres this week, Tuesday night, June 1st on ESPN+. The coaches are UFC featherweight champion Alexander Volkanovski versus the number one contender Brian Ortega. The season is going to have 8 bantamweights, 8 middleweights. Volkanovski was actually speaking with our Austin arch nemesis, Eddie, Joe Rogan. And he said, hey, talking about Brian Ortega, he doesn't say much. I don't know him. I'm a bit over him, to be honest. Just a couple of things. I just think he's fake. That's just sort of how it is with me. That's what I think. So Volkanovski was pressed. He wouldn't really get into details. He says he doesn't really like Ortega. Says that he's going to plan on fighting him in September. That's when they think that the fight's going to happen. But one thing they're both clear on, Eddie, is that they both dislike Colby Covington. Add that to the list of other people, right? Colby was speaking with James Lynch this last week and said, hey, you know, essentially, he is still upset that he was passed over. He was supposed to coach against Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal decided to take the money fight, go fight Usman at UFC 261, and Colby kind of got the boot there. He said Ortega and Volkanovski are going to make a mockery out of the show. They said, hey, they're pretty good for the little guys, but they're not exciting. Both Ortega and Volkanovski, they both clap back at Colby on Twitter. But Eddie, I know that you love The Ultimate Fighter. So this week, a very special two questions with Eddie.
Eddie. I got two questions for you, Eddie.
All right, I got two questions for you, Eddie. The number one question, name all 5 networks that The Ultimate Fighter has aired on in the U.S.
Oh, good Lord. Spike TV.
Yes.
ESPN Plus.
Yes.
FS1.
Yes.
Networks
or services. Could be a streaming service.
Prime?
Nope.
Hulu.
Could be a streaming service that is owned by the promotion.
UFC Fight Pass?
The UFC Fight Pass. And another network that could be owned by Fox Sports or Fox.
Fox Sports Net?
Nope. FX. FX from 2012 to 2013.
We forgot about FX.
Those are the 5. All right. Question 2, Eddie. This is a good one, actually. In 28 seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, 11 fighters have become UFC champions or interim champions. How many can you name in 1 minute? Go.
Bisping.
Yes.
Forrest.
Yes.
Rashad.
Yes.
Whitaker.
Yes.
Uh, Carlos Esparza, Rose Namajunas,
yes.
Montana. No,
Yes.
Who? Okay.
You're at 7. 30 seconds. You're going to hate yourself for not knowing these ones.
I am going to hate myself.
UFC champion or interim champion. I'll give you that.
Oh, or interim champion. Colby?
15 seconds. No.
No.
So close on that one, though. 5, 4.
Ferguson?
Three, yes. 2, 1, 8.
Eddie, I give up.
8 hey. Out of the 11. All right. You missed.
That's not so bad.
Matt Serra, season 4, welterweight.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that one.
You missed TJ Dillashaw, season 14. He won the bantamweight title. He actually didn't win. He lost to John Dodson. Rose Namajunas didn't win either.
Well, I thought we were just doing like champions or tough champions that won a title.
Well, I mean, you did say Rose Namajunas, and she didn't win, so you picked her, so we know that's not the case.
You're right, you're right.
And then you're Kamaru right. Usman. Kamaru Usman won season 21,
oh, yeah.
And he's the welterweight champion, actually.
Right I definitely now. Wasn't watching then.
Yeah. Eddie, I would say, though, if I had to pick the next champion, though, that would come from a tough alumni, my pick would be Tatiana Suarez, who won season 23.
Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
And I know you weren't watching, Eddie, in the since then, so I know you have no idea who else. It's definitely not going to be Juan Espino. I'll tell you that.
Come on, Jordan. You said the same thing about Jan Blachowicz.
No.
You didn't even want him to get a
please,
shot.
Please tell me we're not comparing Juan Espino to Jan Blachowicz.
To Jan Blachowicz a couple years ago, maybe? I don't know what Espino's done. Let's move on, though, Jordan.
Go ahead.
Whew. So, while waiting for the winner of Volkanovski and Ortega, Max Holloway is going to be staying busy. And this one's exciting. What's up with that?
Yeah, man, I love this matchup. The UFC announced that Max
threw
Holloway
me completely, of course.
Is going to headline a fight night event on July 17th on ESPN Plus against Yared Rodriguez. That should be an ABC one, I'll be honest. Max is coming off that win against Calvin Kattar. Yared Rodriguez is coming off a win over Jeremy Stephens. That was back in October 2019. He was supposed to fight Zabit. He got injured, and then he got suspended for 6 months for failing a whereabouts violation and not taking a drug test. Obviously, this is a huge step up in competition for Yair. I'm glad to see that Max is staying busy. Yair is currently ranked 3rd in the division. Max is ranked 1st in the division. Do you like this matchup for Yair Rodriguez?
I mean, it's a great opportunity, but a huge step up in competition for him. But with him being at 3 and Max being at 1 and the champ at number 2 are busy, his only other choice is to fight down. So if you want that title, you got to go through the big names. So it's a great opportunity for him, and it's going to be a great show for us.
Yeah, no,
I'm excited. Yeah. And there's still time for it to move to ABC.
Yeah, but it would be bananas on ABC. And Max, you know, he should own ABC after that fight with Calvin Kattar. Misha Tate making her comeback to fighting in the co-main event on this fight card against Myron Renault.
Ooh, I'm all about that one. Now, Ali Abdelaziz says Khabib is still getting offered fights. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Ali Abdelaziz is the manager of Khabib. Also guys like Kamaru Usman, Cody Garbrandt, Henry Cejudo, Kayla Harrison.
Manager to the stars.
He was on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, and he told Mike that Dana called him just a couple weeks ago and said that GSP was actually down to fight Khabib in a non-title fight, 165 pounds. I don't know if you saw the picture of GSP at his just recently. He looks incredible. He said that Khabib has always wanted to fight GSP, but he's going to still pass that opportunity. He also said that Khabib was offered $100 million to box Floyd Mayweather. He said that his mother told him not to fight anymore, so he's going to keep to her wishes. I would say if I was Khabib and I would say, hey, my father wanted me to be, you know, undefeated, you know, 30-0 or 29-0 or whatever it was, right? Boxing is different. Different sport. I'll take the $100 million.
If I'm Khabib, I'd take the GSP fight. You know, he'll still make more than a few million off of that one. And you don't get embarrassed by, you know, being in the deep end of a sport that you only practice 1/8 of your time. So, less embarrassing, bigger legacy fight against one of your idols. That's a better fight for me, GSP, not Mayweather.
Not the
especially if Mayweather somehow loses.
Not the $100 million?
I mean, he's already got millions and millions. I mean, what are you going to do with another 100?
Good question, Eddie.
Build a bear sanctuary for your kids to fight? I don't know. What do you do with that? Speaking of weird fighting things, Jordan, Game Bread Fighting Championship is on. What's up with that?
Yeah, so last month before UFC 261, Jorge Masvidal announced that he'd be starting a new bare-knuckle MMA promotion called Gamebred Fighting Championships. It was announced that this week, the main event for the inaugural event will be Jason the Kid Knight versus Felony Charles Bennett. And so Knight, he went 4-5 in the UFC, had 3 performance of the night bonuses. He actually beat guys like Dan Hooker, Alex Caceres. He's been in BKFC before. Bennett's been around for a while, man. He's a veteran of MMA, over 70 fights, fought in Pride, Risen, Elite XC, King of the Cage. He's been in bare knuckle boxing. He has not won, though. He's 41 years old. That'll be kind of interesting, right? Also, former UFC fighter Brock Weaver is going to fight Brandon Jenkins, who fought in the LFA. They're going to fight in the co-main event. It's going to be on, I want to say it's July 18th on the BKTV app. Is it July 18th or is it June 18th?
I think it's June.
I think it might be June 18th. Paige VanZant, she's going to be on the commentary desk along with Sean Wheelock and ATT founder Dan Lambert.
Man, that's it's a really interesting story, that situation there. Bare knuckle MMA. I mean, it's probably the thing that all those politicians were scared of in the first place years ago. They're not going to love this one. But speaking of Paige VanZant, she is now scheduled in BKFC to face off with new signing Rachel Ostovich on July 23rd. So not only will she be doing commentary, now she's back in the ring.
Yeah, they have a ring. She's got to like make up for that, you know, not great performance against Beck Rawlings or her debut in BKFC.
No, yeah, it wasn't Beck Rawlings. Beck Rawlings is a champ. She's not up there yet. Oh, yeah, but as right. Paige said on her Instagram, come for the boobies, stay for the violence.
Okay. Do I have to beat that in?
Yeah. No, you don't. That's legal. It's okay.
Hey, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of commentators, congrats to UFC, former UFC and Bellator commentator Jimmy Smith. He's taking over for Adnan Burke on Monday Night Raw.
Nice. Yeah, he started this week on Memorial Day, so that's great.
Yeah, he's lead play-by-play announcer, so it's good because I was really annoyed when the UFC got rid of him. Thought he did a great job. Then he's on Sirius XM for a while. He may still keep that one. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's good to see him still around.
Hey, also your favorite fighter, Chris Weidman. Good to see him up and walking on his own. That's great news. Let me hit you with some new fights.
Please hit me.
I would love to. Oh my gosh. Michel Pereira is going to fight Nico Price, UFC 264, July 10th. We're going to get Conor McGregor and Michel Pereira on that fight card. Tim Means fighting Danny Roberts. Ryan Hall going to finally make it back. Ilia Topuria. TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen is official July 24th. Puno Soriano versus Brendan Allen. I like that fight. Du Ho Choi and Danny Chavez going to fight on July 31st. And Eddie, Bigfoot Silva returned to MMA after 4 years in retirement. No, he's not fighting in the UFC, not in Bellator, not even in PFL or Risen or 1FC. Megdon Fighting 9, which makes me sad that I've missed 1-8 of Megdon Fighting if they're getting guys like Bigfoot Silva out there. So that's very
well,
exciting.
I know how much you don't like watching the prelims and the smaller events. So getting you to watch an event in Serbia, it would be shocking.
Well, especially Megdon.
That's right. He's
going to
be
nine.
Fighting in Serbia.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
So what do you think the drug testing is like over in Serbia?
Oh, non-existent. Eddie, it was great talking new fights. It was great covering What's Up With That. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. I'm Jordan. That's Eddie. You can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Eddie, that was fun. I liked going over that trivia on The Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, we talked last week about Carla Esparza, how she should probably have the next title shot. One person who does not believe, Eddie, maybe Dana White, maybe there's more. But one person who definitely doesn't believe that she deserves the next title shot, former champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She said that it should be either her, who hasn't fought since March 2020, losing to Zhang Weili, or Zhang Weili herself. She says that, I think it's funny, she says, yeah, she's got a few good wins in a row. She has a few straight wins, but I think the next challenger should be JJ or Zhang Weili. That's what I agree to only. She was talking to the schmo, and that's what she said. So she believes that she should be the champion. Come on, Joanna.
Well, luckily for Carla, it doesn't matter. Yeah, luckily for Carla, it doesn't matter what Joanna agrees to and why she would pick two people who we last saw getting their clocks cleaned. I don't know, you know.
Well, Yan-Jay
last time we saw what Zhang Weili
could have. JJ arguably could have won that fight. That was an incredible
last time we saw her, she had her face rearranged and she looked like an alien.
She did. That's true.
Yeah. And last time we saw Weili, she was getting crumpled like a paper bag.
Well, I would say one thing that makes it interesting, Yan-Jay only has one contract fight left on her contract. So you could always use some kind of a bargaining chip to do that. But Eddie, we've got fights this weekend. We had a week off, but this week we got Jairzinho Rozenstruik coming back fighting Augusto Sakai. Jairzinho, he's coming off of a loss to Ciryl Gane. That was just a couple months ago. Augusto Sakai, he's coming off a loss to Alistair Overeem. That was back in September. This makes for a fun fight, man. These are a couple guys that, you know, they're not right at the top of the division. You know, they're kind of that middle level. Augusto Sakai, this is, you know, he has wins over kind of those middle fighters. But this isn't bad. I think you got number 6, who's Jairzinho, and then Augusto Sakai, who is number 9. What do you think about this matchup?
This has the ingredients to be one of those fun bungalow-throwing matchups where neither guy wants to take a step back. Both of them are known for their striking. And, you know, heavyweights can lay someone out in a moment's notice. So it's a don't-blink type of fight,
yeah,
which makes it fun.
It should be a good one, right? Because of the kickboxing with Jairzinho, and you would think, and maybe not, but this could be a fight to get Jairzinho back on track, right? He lost a couple fights, and we know they like him already. In the co-main event, you got other heavyweights, Walt Harris versus Marcin Tybura. Tybura coming off of that win over my guy, Greg Hardy. And Walt Harris, I feel bad for Walt Harris. He needs to get a win. He hasn't won since July 20th, 2019. We know what he's been through. You want to see someone like him get that win. And then you've got another fight. Actually, the fight that I'm really looking forward to, Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Miguel Baeza. Miguel Baeza is a stud. He's 10-0, has that win over Matt Brown. He's finished his last three opponents, Takashi Sato, Matt Brown, Hector Aldana. He was on Dana White's Contender Series. I like Miguel Baeza, and then Santiago Ponzinibbio, you know, we know what he brings. And I mean, although he hasn't fought, you know, he fought in January before, they didn't fight for, you know, almost two and a half years. So I like that matchup as well. So it kind of comes for a fun fight this weekend.
You know, I thought you were going to say the one you're looking forward to is on the prelims and your new favorite Canadian Tanner Boser against Alir Latifi.
Oh, that'd actually be fun. I didn't see that one there. A fun fight, so.
So this could be a fun card, because in between all those heavyweights, you got a bunch of middleweights. Well, let's not remember like the third biggest weight class we have.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some big boys fighting this weekend. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Well, guys, thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned. Justin and Stu, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, coming up next. They're going to break down AEW Double or Nothing. And looking forward, guys, follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening and have a great night, and we will see you next week.
Get vaccinated, stay positive, love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.